another top five things. Only this episode,
yes,
is exclusive for our patrons. It's the two of us and you in a very special April podcast.
We're back in the kitchen
for patrons. Yeah,
where it all began.
I was gonna say this is where we used to do it all the time. Welcome everybody, and by everybody again I mean a very exclusive club of people, the Dave and Darren patrons.
The best people.
You really are. You kept us out of jail all these years. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Yeah, I've never been in jail. They asked me to sit on a couch one time, but that was as close as I got.
You get to sit on a couch?
Uh-huh. Well, why don't you just sit on this couch while we find you a ride home? Okay. I could do that. I'm not gonna hurt anybody.
I'm not a threat to others.
Certainly not gonna hurt myself.
No, I'm a big fan.
Big fan. So I was at the grocery store.
Okay.
Earlier today.
Yeah.
In the frozen food section, I was considering some treats.
All right.
And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to me and goes. At first, I thought he was going to ask for money.
At the grocery store? Well, you get people shaking you down? Anything helps, sir.
Because I don't have anything on me. I really don't. But he wasn't asking for money. He wanted to know, I was here the other day. And there was some shrimp scampi. Okay. Now, first of all, do I look like I work at the store? I mean, in this getup?
No. You look like a longshoreman.
Yeah, maybe I delivered the groceries.
Like you'd be the guy that brings in the fish sticks.
Yeah, maybe
the Gordon's fisherman is what you look like.
Maybe.
On but casual Fleece Friday.
Yeah, right. But as far as actually working in the store, no.
No.
Yeah, there was some shrimp scampi. There was some shrimp scampi here. I was here the other day and there was some shrimp scampi. Do you have any idea where that is at? What? And I'm like, well, let's just take a look. I mean, we're in the frozen food section. All I had to do was look down the aisle. It said seafood. I'm like, follow me. follow me. And as soon as I got up there, he's like, there it is. But then he was like, it looked as though he was disappointed in the price. Like,
so did you tell him you could give him a deal or?
Well, no, I said, there you go. I think there's that. But then I said, if that's not what you're looking for, I think it might be in some of the refrigerators or freezers that they use, down a different aisle. But anyway, I hope it all worked out for him.
You might be named employee of the month here. You don't watch it.
Yeah.
Hy-Vee announcing they told 500 people at their corporate office.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to stay here, we need you to leave the corporate office and go work at the stores.
Yeah, how about that?
They're going to cut 500 employees from their offices at Hy-Vee. But
they can save their jobs, is what they're saying.
Well, but this is how they get you. They're doing this to kind of go around some stuff. Because then that way they can say,
you probably don't get to keep the same amount of money.
No, they're not paying you what they were paying you at corporate.
No.
To go work in the shrimp scampi aisle.
Well, see, there you go. Look at the example I already set. I'm not saying I was at Hy-Vee.
You're not. So the way they're phrasing it is, it's not that they're eliminating their jobs. It's that they're asking people to switch to retail because of these unprecedented times. 500 corporate level employees asked to switch to retail. They did this last month, I guess, with another 100 employees. And I bet after the first 100 employees, I mean, we've been in situations
where the writing's on the wall
and you think, okay. And the
reason that we had the writing on the wall is because they told everybody they were getting rid of us except for us.
Everybody
knew but us.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really
so
clever.
That's more than writing on the wall. That's like hiring a blimp.
Remember when we were going through that and we were on the phone with like the corporate people. And they're like, this has never happened. We've never had anyone be so professional about all of this.
Well, of course.
And
not.
We said, because it's our understanding that you're going to come to your senses and not do this. Of course, they did do it.
I never had that feeling.
Well, see, this is why my my optimism gets me in a lot of trouble.
It really does.
Yeah, it really does. I like the fact
that we got the Sox game on, although the Royals looking to go deep.
Have you
heard that the ball is dead this year?
Yeah, they're saying that in a lot of places.
Is that okay, though? I think that might, I don't know that I hate it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's been February.
Yeah.
In a large swath of the country.
It's the third month of February.
Yeah, they'll liven it up. But these humidors are meant to
deaden
the ball a little bit.
And then I heard that maybe they were just using leftover balls from last year, which makes all the sense in the world to me.
Okay.
If you've got a stash of balls.
Mm-hmm. So we got to burn through last year's balls.
Yeah, we're going to burn through these balls
before we
make another purchase. Are we crazy?
I could see that. What are we going to do? Just throw these balls in the river?
You know, but if this means, as opposed to hitting home runs, the people are hitting singles and doubles.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. Do you hate that?
I'd rather see a double than a home run any day of the week.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gapper is what they called them back in my day.
Mm-hmm. Home runs are fascist, my friend. The base hits, that's where it's at. That's where everybody
looks like there's
gets
plenty
along.
Of seats available there at the ballpark.
Well, it's 28 degrees. I wouldn't want to go. A buddy of mine reached out to me and was like, hey,
tickets for this game
for the weekend.
Oh, for this weekend.
Anaheim Angels are in town.
Well,
and said, hey, if I can get these tickets, would you want to go?
No, because you're going to get rained out.
I said, absolutely. I'd want to go. I'll never say no to a Sox game. And then he responded, yeah, I couldn't get the tickets. And I thought, thank God you couldn't get the tickets.
What do you mean you couldn't get the tickets?
He was going to get the tickets through work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't going to pay for tickets.
No, he wasn't. No. These were through work tickets. And his buddy was like, hey, we can go. We'll take the kids. And then this is the thing. My son has no interest in really watching any sport on television.
Yeah, but he'll go to the live event.
You know, and I was like, hey, what do you think? We can go watch a Sox game. He goes, you know, I don't like baseball. I go, all right, but it'd be an opportunity to go to Chicago. He's like, I do like Chicago.
What's he like about Chicago?
I don't know.
Just the big city, the action.
The vibe. He's got to have the action.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but we're going to go to some games this year.
Does he like going to the baseball game? Or not really?
He'd
prefer to, like, go to the aquarium or something.
No, he'd rather have a Ferris Bueller's Day Off adventure at the museum.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you this. He'll piss and moan. And then when he gets in the park, he has the time of his life.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, that's how I am, too.
How about you?
When my wife wants to drag me to something, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
I know.
And then I'm there and I think, why are we doing this all the time? So I think he gets that from me, the moaning and groaning about having to do stuff that's actually fun.
I'm kind of that way with golf. I mean, I know I'm that way with golf because I haven't golfed in like 7 years.
Yeah.
It's like, but once I get there, it's like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah, up until you get to like the 15th and 16th hole. I don't know why it needs to be 18 holes. I stop having fun after 16.
It is a long process.
That's enough with this ridiculousness. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announcing.
They got him?
Well, it looks like we know who three of them are going to be because of the fan ballot.
Well, I remember taking a look at the fan ballot, and it was a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And Duran was trouncing everyone.
That's still the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, Duran, it looks like a lock.
The Duranis are making it happen.
Well, they are well ahead. They are like almost 300,000 votes ahead from whoever's in second place here.
Yeah. And how much does the fan vote count?
Well, I think that the fan vote...
Well, I mean, I guess at this point, then they have to get in because if you're up 300,000 votes and you don't get in, that the fan vote's going to be like, well,
how does
wait
that
a minute.
Look? Yeah, exactly. Fan voting ends tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday, April 28th. So Friday, April 29th. And then the top five acts will make up an official fans ballot that will be counted alongside the over 1,000 ballots sent to current rock inductees. So everybody gets to work on a single ballot that's one of 1,000 other ballots.
Wait a minute. Did you say that that the fan votes count for just one vote?
Yes.
One vote.
Yes.
And then there's 100 other
whoever
votes.
Whoever makes the top five.
Gets a vote.
That's five in a single ballot. And there are 1,000 other ballots that musicians get.
Well, then what the hell? What? then it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, Not at all, but
next to nothing. I thought it was about the fan.
Well, I guess here's the thing. It is to a degree, because as you mentioned,
if somebody runs away
with the fan ballot, then how do people who vote for this out of the musicians?
It doesn't matter. You run away with it, but you only get that one vote.
Well, yeah, all five of them, you know, you can induct as a musician. Let's say you and I were rock and rollers who got the ballots. We would say, here are the five people I would put in. So the fan ballot is the top five. And as of right now, I mean, for sure, the fan ballot is going to be Duran Duran, Eminem, and Pat Benatar. And then the Eurythmics and Dolly Parton are on this list.
And now, Dolly's not going to accept it.
Well, yeah, she removed herself from consideration.
But she didn't. They said we reject your rejection.
We're not going to let you off the hook.
Not that easy.
Right. Her take was, I haven't made a rock and roll record.
No, and they're like 9 to 5 was a rock record. That qualifies.
It doesn't.
Sorry.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. Also on the list here, not in the top five, but possibly getting inducted this year, Beck, Lionel Richie, Rage Against the Machine, Devo, Dionne Warwick, A Tribe Called Quest, Kate Bush, Fela Kuti, MC5, and the New York Dolls.
You know that Lionel Richie and Rage Against the Machine, that wouldn't make bad for a bad tour.
I'd like to
you
see.
You know, that's okay. If you get those two together.
All right. Well, that's if I haven't blown my stack on the Dionne Warwick and Devo show.
Uh-huh. Turn it into a festival.
You mentioned you were hanging out in the frozen food section.
Not for long. Well, a little bit longer than I expected because I was trying to
they
find
put you to work.
Shrimp scampi.
There's a farmer in Israel who's now in the Guinness Book of World Records after he grew the largest strawberry on record.
Hey, strawberry. Daryl.
Oh, it's fine. They like it when you yell
Daryl.
Their names. Now, it's Israel, so this is a metric unit. I will say it. The thing looks huge. It looks like about the size of a... much bigger than a baseball, maybe the size of two baseballs, but it weighs in at 289 grams.
Gram, man, like gram of dirt.
Gram's dead.
He did die. Unfortunately, broke my heart to find out. 289 grams. It's the largest strawberry. This farmer, Chahai Ariel, spent a year farming it.
They're passing out crap at the Sox game.
It was picked on his family farm in central Israel in February of last year, and it's been stored in a freezer ever since.
Hmm.
He says, we waited a year for the results. We kept it in a freezer for a year. It's no longer as pretty as it was.
No, it wasn't going to be.
Uh-huh. Strawberry is a local variety that tends to grow to a hefty size, and Mr. Ariel says the record-setting fruit has shrunk to about half the size it was a year ago. I guess that makes sense because the water is all gone, and, you know, fruits are full of water. The previous record was a strawberry that was grown in Fukuoka, Japan. That was 250 grams. So when he got the news that he had the world's largest strawberry, he started jumping up and down, laughing and singing.
And he stepped on the strawberry. he trampled it.
Well, you can't eat it now.
He trampled it in what now he calls the strawberry dance.
They released
that could have fed the whole village.
They're releasing now more and more news about movies that are coming out next year.
Yeah,
there's going to be a Barbie movie with that Margot Robbie.
Yes. Did that Tom Cruise, what was it called?
Top Gun?
Top Gun thing ever come out?
You know, I was just reading. I just saw an ad that I think over the weekend, Lady Gaga has recorded the love theme to this Top Gun sequel.
They're not going to go with, what was it, Berlin?
Berlin. I don't think Terry Nunn was available. Yeah, Lady Gaga is doing the love theme to the new Top Gun. Let me look up to see what the name of the song is. Yeah, it's called Hold My Hand, and it will be featured in the new Top Gun Maverick, which comes out next month.
Finally?
Yeah.
And wasn't he doing a Mission Impossible movie?
Oh, yeah, he's doing all of his movies. I think he's doing Risky Business, too. Riskier Business. It's all about crypto. He's selling out of his house. Lady Gaga says she's been working on this tune for the Top Gun song, Top Gun Maverick, has been working on the track for years.
Oh, God.
Quote, when I wrote this song for Top Gun Maverick, I didn't even realize the multiple layers it spanned across the film's heart, my own psyche, and the nature of the world we've been living in.
Gotta love Lady Gaga.
I've been working on it for years.
She does all...
perfecting it. Trying to make it ours. I wanted to make music into a song where we share our deep need to both be understood and to try and understand each other. A longing to be close when we feel so far away and an ability to celebrate life's heroes.
See, that's the thing that's great about Lady Gaga. She does all the thinking so we don't have to.
She added, this song is a love letter to the world. Mm. During and after a very hard time. I've wanted you to hear it for so long, and I'm so excited to give it to you on May 3rd.
Well, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I and everyone need.
This will heal all of us.
Finally.
I liked it better when she was singing about poker face and I wish I could shut my Playboy mouth. But she's put a lot of thought into this, so yeah. We don't have to. There's also going to be a new Avatar movie
that people are excited about. Now, is this just the second one?
Yeah.
They've held off this long.
Yeah, they're making a bunch of them. They're making, I think, 3 or 4 different sequels to this thing.
Oh, boy.
Avatar 2 will be called The Way of the Water. The Way of the Water. It's coming to a theater near you at some point next year. And there's also this movie, The Flash.
Flash Dance?
No, it's about Flash, the superhero.
The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. The Flash Dance tonight.
And they've made a trailer, I guess. It's been seen at different cons. They've showed it to a couple of different people. And it features footage of Michael Keaton asking the Flash, you want to get nuts? Okay, let's get nuts.
Uh-huh.
Just like he does in the original Batman 89. So that's cool.
That's playful.
But it says here, the fact that Batman would repeat that dialogue makes no sense whatsoever. It's weird that he would say the line again in an entirely new context, almost word for word. It wasn't like you want to get nuts, let's get nuts was Batman's catchphrase or anything.
Right.
It's just something he randomly said in an ex-girlfriend's apartment one time.
Well, he might say it again then.
And the exact motivations behind this moment have been the subject of some fan debate. The most logical interpretation is that Bruce in the original Batman only went nuts to divert Joker's menace away from Vicky and onto him. That's why he protected himself with a shiny silver bulletproof serving tray. Yeah, I guess that makes an excellent point. Although, I don't hate living in a world where Batman does have a catchphrase.
Sure.
And it's, do you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. He's
always threatening people. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Is that Owen's bucket of money over there?
Yes.
Let's teach him a lesson.
No, he just, I think there's only a $2 bill in it at the moment.
That's the lesson we're going to teach
him. Yeah, no, he just took it to the bank the other day. Yeah.
What is he, Robert Blake?
I hope not.
Well, yeah, I hope not too, for your sake.
It doesn't end well.
You don't need that in your final years.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Keep your eye on the sparrow.
A man with 9 wives says he has to have a sex schedule.
Utah?
No, this is in, I guess, Brazil. There was a story of a polygamist in Brazil in the news that I didn't go with for today's show. He was just basically saying he's just some creepy cowboy in Utah. He's got 2 wives. And the line that really made the most sense, or that I got the most joy out of, was he said, with 2 wives, it's like I'm constantly living in the center of a tornado. And I don't doubt that's the case. But, you know, maybe just have 1 wife.
That's the tornado you made.
Mm-hmm. This guy has 9 wives. He is a Brazilian model and a polygamist. Married 9 women, and now he says he had to create a sex schedule so he could make sure that each wife's needs are met. Arthur Ursuro, he looks to be like he's in his 30s, I'd say.
Okay.
And I mean, he's got all these super hot Brazilian wives.
How about that?
Yeah, it's something else. And he says here in this story, they want to fulfill my sexuality at any cost. This guy was first married to a swinger, Luana Kazi, made waves in marital circles last year after he tied the knot with 8 additional women in Sao Paulo, Brazil, because he wanted to protest against monogamy. Nuptials are not legally binding as polygamy is outlawed in Brazil. So he's got a wife and then, you know, 8 other spiritual wives. What do they call that? He says he's struggling to satisfy all of his partners equally.
Well, you know, that happens to the best of them. It really does.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what kind of big shot you are.
Struggling.
He says, initially I tried to have sex by appointment, but the guy says here he found it difficult to try and manage a menage a trois as his sex life began to resemble a game of whack-a-mole.
Just, I bet they appreciate that.
I wouldn't say that in the house.
No, he should just set up a website and then have a waiting list that you're going to need to click on.
Yeah, or get like the numbers they have at the butcher counter.
Yeah.
Now serving. He says, following a timetable caused a lot of problems, and sometimes I felt like I had to have sex because of the schedule and not for pleasure. On other occasions, I had sex with one wife while I was thinking about another. What are you...
Again, that's something to keep to yourself.
It became too overwhelming, he said, and now they've reverted back to a more spontaneous arrangement, which has vastly improved his love
life.
That's
an interesting dynamic. It's mm-hmm. like, well, of course I think about you when I'm having sex, just never when I'm having sex with you. What?
He says it didn't seem right, so we got rid of it, and now the sex flows naturally. It's been great. It's been very fun, pleasurable, and unique to experience everything collectively. And they're all very different in bed. One of them, I won't name her to keep her privacy. She likes to be dominant, and I like a woman who tells me what she wants. Well, I guess you can have...
That's fantastic that you're... Don't want to...
There's a bunch of pictures in this story.
That you don't want to, you know, for her privacy.
There's a bunch of pictures of the story, and it's him and his... You know, 9 wives. Wow. And I swear to God, they're eating fast food in every single picture.
These girls are going to get big.
They couldn't eat you out of house and home.
Can you imagine having to get fast food for 9 people every day?
Me and my 9 wives.
Oh my God, you better get the app. You're going to need the app.
You want to get some reward points.
You got to do it.
He says that his wives don't mind sharing it.
I mean, even if you... ordered off the value meal.
His wives don't mind sharing him sexually, but he says they do get jealous when he buys one of them a more expensive gift than the rest of them.
Then don't do it. Everyone's always going to get the exact same thing.
Quote, they all demand attention, affection, and sex to be part of our everyday life, and I can't do more for one than the other.
Here's a coin purse for all of you.
One of his wives, Agatha, has announced that she's leaving him.
Ooh.
He says she wanted to have me all to herself. It didn't make sense.
I guess he's rolling with the punches then, huh?
He says that didn't make any sense. We have to share. I was very sad about the separation and even more surprised by her excuse. You would be bummed if one of your 9 wives left you? That would be what a relief.
Sounds like he's taking it in stride.
I would be, if I had 9 wives.
Just for the fast food.
And one wife left me, I'd be like.
Would you even notice?
Do you hear how happy she is? Have you girls heard? Boy, she seems like she's having a time of her life without us. Boy, that's something else. Yeah, the rest of the harem agreed that this Agatha had the wrong attitude.
Wonder how many softball leagues they're in.
Jeez Louise. There's a picture of them at the wedding, and because there's 10 of them, he's kissing one, and then all the girls are kissing another girl.
Now you're talking.
It looks like it's happening at a church, but that's not possible, right?
The church is cool with it?
That can't be right. I've got a couple of Florida stories to share exclusively with you patrons.
Just the patrons.
Mm-hmm. Again, Florida stories here for...
Damn!
No, not that Florida. The state, of course.
Florida.
Florida man sentenced for using his twin's ID to get veterans benefits. Sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for using his twin brother's stolen identity so that he could get tens of thousands of dollars in military veteran benefits.
Is the twin still alive?
Wayne Bowen sentenced in Jacksonville federal court. He pled guilty to aggravated identity theft. He also has to pay back more than $63,000 in restitution. According to the plea agreement, Bowen used the name, Social Security guard, and military discharge papers of his estranged twin brother to apply for federally subsidized housing benefits intended for indigent military vets. The program was administered by the United States Department of Veteran Affairs and the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. He admitted to federal agents that he'd been using his brother's identity for years. He obtained a Florida ID using his twin's identity. Initially, he told agents that he and his twin had served in and both been honorably discharged from the Army, but he later admitted that those were lies. Based on his fraudulent use of the brother's identity, the VA gave him more than $32,000 in medical services. Housing and Urban Development gave him almost $19,000 in housing subsidies, and the Department of Agriculture gave him another $12,000 in nutritional benefits. His twin brother, who lives in another state, confirmed that he never applied for any of these benefits, and he certainly didn't give his twin brother permission to use his name.
I don't have that authority.
You don't hear about estranged twins very often.
Evil ones, but not estranged
well,
ones.
Well, I'd argue this is an evil twin to a degree. But yeah, estranged twins, that's...
I mean, typically, the twins that I know of, they're like, they finish each other's sentences and stuff, and they dress alike.
Right.
Typically in stripes.
Oh, there's some goofy show that my wife watches on HGTV.
Is it about twins?
Well, you know, you got your property brothers who are twins.
Yeah.
And that's, those two are weird. I can't watch that show. It's queer.
And one's married to Zooey Deschanel.
I think they're going to get married.
Isn't that something?
I think John Oliver says it best when he says of the property brothers, brothers who clearly bathe together. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's the vibe they give off. Then there's this other show that my wife will watch from time to time on HGTV where it's in the Pacific Northwest and it's they're women twins. But I think they're fraternal rather than identical.
Yeah.
To the point where I get so distracted looking at them trying to figure out, how are they twins? They have different hair. They dress different.
Yeah.
And the one does the one part of the gig and the other does the other part of the gig. To the point where I almost am convinced, I think they're just saying they're twins to get on TV. Like, you know, the Property Brothers are a thing. We'll just say that we're twins.
Would you have liked to have had a twin?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I would say no.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
I mean, obviously, if you had a twin,
yeah,
that's the only life you would know.
Yeah, that, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's, but just from the outside, I would be like, nah, I don't think so.
Well, you'd have to share a lot more than you did, but there'd be more stuff to share. And you'd be, and they would be good about sharing their stuff with you.
No, they'd always be just cutting that sandwich in half. It'd still be just the one sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you're getting.
I mean, it's a lot more common than it used to be. That's for sure.
Is it?
Oh, well, yeah, in large part because of fertility drugs.
Really?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more twins now than there ever were.
Oh, I would have thought that years ago would have been the golden age of twins.
Oh, no, no. It's by a giant factor that
really?
there's many more twins now than there ever were. Just in the last, like, 20, 25 years.
People are trying to play God.
Well, it's you got to do what you got to do in order to
I think the sun's coming out. I think the sun's coming out for your track meet.
Since the 1980s, the worldwide rate of twin births has increased by more than 30%. More twins are being born. 1.6 million twins are born every year. One in 42 children born, Darren, is a twin.
Oh, and what was it before?
Well, it used to be like if you had twins in your class, there was like a real oddity. I mean,
what you'd tell them.
You'd be like, you guys are weird. There were two there were two twins in my class in high school. Oh, they were Greek brothers. It was like Dimitri and, I forget the other fella's name. And these guys were the twins that you're talking about, where it was like you never knew which one you were talking to. It was.
Yeah, I had a few twins in my class.
Really?
Yeah.
No, the only twins I went to school with were in high school. I don't think there were any twins in elementary school.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
And I would have went to a much smaller school than you.
There was a family on my block where they had twins and then they had triplets.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they were 2 years apart. So yeah, that was a lot. Back to Florida.
Yeah, can you imagine giving birth to triplets?
No.
It'd be like you'd be down, it's like no. Sense it'd be like what's going on down there? Cuz you can't really see. And you're like okay.
Hello. Hello.
What did I just hear?
Are they talking like the Three Stooges
already?
They're already doing stooge material. Give me baby Shemp. Let me hold baby Shemp here. Over the weekend in Southeast Florida, a massive female.
Give me baby Shemp.
Massive 11-foot, 500-pound female hammerhead shark washed ashore. They say it's pretty rare for this to happen. The collapsible corpse belonged to a pregnant great hammerhead shark, the largest of all the hammerhead species.
Now, that's a nickname that people don't have as much anymore.
Hammerhead?
Yeah.
Who do you know that had that as a nickname?
Well, I just, people got called hammerhead.
You're a real hammerhead.
Yeah, a real hammerhead. Yeah, you know
I think that was.
You know that? You know who's a real hammerhead? That baby Shep.
I think that there's a connotation. I think I know why they called people hammerheads, and I don't think it's.
Oh.
I don't think it's PC.
Okay.
I don't think you can get away with it. Far away eyes, they used to call it, right? Isn't that?
Okay.
Isn't that what the Stones taught us? Ooh. I don't have that much jam. How about this one, Darren?
Yes.
Woman decided to do a little bit of vandalizing in Lincoln, Nebraska.
What was she going to vandalize?
This is 11 o'clock at night on Tuesday.
Lincoln, Nebraska, is that the center of our country?
It's close. Lincoln's not that far from the border with us, right? You don't have to drive long in Nebraska to get there.
I think Lincoln, Nebraska is pretty centrally located.
I've heard it's a good time.
Really?
I've heard you have a lot more fun in Lincoln than you would think.
Huh.
Well, I've
never heard that.
This woman was arrested after she brought her kids along while vandalizing a business.
Ooh.
11 o'clock on Tuesday night, Emily Anderson drove to Yankee Hill Brick and Tile. She then entered the business with one of her kids through an unlocked door. She started to knock over shelving, toss toolboxes, and rip open bags of materials. And then with spray paint cans she found inside, she started spray painting her name, Anderson, and the word mine. Onto the building. Like, this is my building now. I wrote my name on it and it says mine.
That's all it takes?
She and her kid threw chairs, rocks, trash, and toolboxes around. Around this time, a employee reported that an unknown vehicle was parked at the business. When deputies arrived, they found two small children outside of a vehicle, and Anderson was in the doorway of the business. She was not wearing shoes at the time. While interviewed by deputies, she admitted to taking property from the business and spray painting the building. She was arrested on suspicion of criminal mischief and child abuse, also cited on the suspicion of theft in a related case. And now those kids are in the custody of Human Health and Services, which is undoubtedly for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix's The Crown, putting out a casting call for a young Kate Middleton, and they're saying it's okay if you don't know how to act.
Because she doesn't.
Casting directors are looking for a strong physical resemblance to Kate Middleton, what she would have looked like 20 years ago. when she was a student at Scotland's University of St. Andrews, where she started dating Prince William. They don't care about your resume. It says no previous professional acting experience required. We are very experienced in providing a great deal of support for young actors and their families. What they find is a uniquely rewarding creative process. I'm guessing Kate doesn't have a lot of lines.
How do you sign up for this?
You show up.
I mean,
they're going to film the new season of The Crown in late August of this year. And you got until May 20th to sign up, I guess, on their website. It's an open call for, also they want young William and Harry's.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, if you're a dead ringer for Kate Middleton,
I don't know that you're going to get, we're going to get anything out of that, but there's no reason these producers don't see, Larry Silent Night. In case they want to use that in some way.
That could really, I think.
If there's a musical interlude that they need to, you know, stock footage.
We watched that most recent season, and I felt bad watching it. Because you're watching, well, The Crown. Because this last one was all about Princess Diana. Mm. Half the time, she's got her head in a toilet. And the other half of the time, it's just Prince Charles just being a monster to her.
Yeah.
And you know how it ends. To the point where I was thinking, maybe that car crash isn't the worst thing in the world, you know?
Oh, don't think that way.
I'm telling you, this woman had it terrible. That family, they're monsters, what they did to that girl. And for what?
They think they're royal.
What? Where do they get off?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Crashy, what are you doing down here?
Oh, Crashy. Do you remember Dealey Bobbers being a big deal in the 80s?
No, Dealey Bobbers.
I don't either, but they're saying that was... I'm reading here, they're saying Dealey Bobbers were a huge deal in the 80s, and maybe that's a trend.
What's a Dealey Bobber?
Okay, so Dealey Bobbers are... You remember Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
The original Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Do you remember they would do the bit where they were the bees?
Yeah.
And the bees had those antennas on their heads?
Yeah.
Those are Dealey Bobbers.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, in the early 80s, these were a huge deal. Like the number one selling thing. They sold them at Spencer's. They sold them at all the amusement parks. And demand in the early 80s for Dealey Bobbers grew so big that they mass produced them. There was a version with Mickey Mouse ears. And apparently this was like a massive, massive craze in the 80s that I have no memory of whatsoever. I remember like big, giant, oversized cowboy hats, right? Mm-hmm. I remember the leash that looked like he had an invisible dog.
That's still a good look.
Really is. Really is.
I don't know. That still works today.
You don't know how long I've been tempted to.
Yeah.
One of these days when I know you're in the neighborhood walking the dogs, to just get one of those and just walk along. And
Would you like that for your 50th birthday?
That's all I want. Get me the invisible dog leash so I can just walk around the neighborhood with that.
I'm walking a cat. I'm sorry. it's not a dog.
Why would you think it's a dog?
It's a cat.
That's on you. And then finally, one last story for you patrons. We want to say thank you again for your support.
Certainly.
Lo these many years. The headline says it all. I drank a poop smoothie that gave me life-threatening diarrhea for science.
Diarrhea.
That's just taking everything too far.
26-year-old Jake Eberts agreed to drink a life-threatening concoction of a cloudy, salty liquid containing Shigella bacteria, which are usually found in the poop of people who are infected. And he did it in the name of science. Did a shot glass of the liquid, knowing that it was going to give him a miserable case of dysentery. He did it for the sake of science. Ebert's one of 16 healthy young patients participating in the 11-day inpatient trial at the University of Maryland in an attempt to test the effectiveness of a Shigella vaccine. And you get paid for this, obviously. Ebert said the symptoms from the trial resulted in the, quote, worst 8 hours of my life. But he says he'd do it all again because he was paid. For this trial... 11 days. He says he did get paid. He says here,
give him another dollar.
He says here, quote, "I don't want to make myself out to be Mother Teresa here. I would not have done this for free. It's a big ask to ask someone to get dysentery."
It really is.
I don't want. Did I have diarrhea? I did. I don't want to make myself out to be Mother Teresa here. Nobody was making you out to be Mother Teresa. She famously fought against diarrhea. He says here, the entire time I was
she
like,
"She did what she could do."
Wow, this is an awful disease, and I just got really emotional. Probably also because I was just delirious. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Shigella bacteria kills about 600,000 people every year around the world, and there is no vaccine available. So getting a vaccine together would be a big deal. It is the second leading cause of diarrhea death. The number one cause of diarrhea death is the rotavirus. But there are vaccines for that, you see.
You don't have to tell Thomas Jefferson.
Right? Well, they're hoping to get things done. He started, it says here, symptoms started 40 hours after he drank the bacteria.
Yeah, at that point, you probably actually, you're thinking, maybe it's not going to take.
40 hours, I think, yeah, I'm bulletproof.
Yeah, yeah.
40 hours, he started to cramp up, then he got chills, and then things took a turn for the worse. He had 103-degree fever and diarrhea with bloody stool.
Oh.
That doesn't sound right.
He says, "I truly felt like I couldn't move, calling basic daily movements like going to the bathroom a, quote, Herculean effort. Every movement in the bathroom to get up to wash my hands or to grab a paper towel, I would lie back down on the ground and just sit there for 5 minutes. Nurses gave him liters of rehydration solution. He called it sad Gatorade. It was sweet and salty, no flavoring or color, but it was meant to keep him functioning. Mm. Eventually, he was given an antibiotic, and within 4 hours, he began to improve.
All right, they held off on the antibiotic.
Going from death's door to feeling more alive with the ability to walk and talk with a little bit of effort. He says, "I was exhausted. I felt miserable. I didn't feel fear. I knew this was something I signed up for. If I did
and
get the vaccine."
He's willing to do it again, huh?
Yeah. He says, "If I did get the vaccine, then this is really bad news for the vaccine." Because, you know, they give some people the vaccine and some people get the placebo. So if he was in the control group, then that's good news. If he wasn't, it's not the best. That's going to do it for this patron-exclusive episode of Dave and Darren's
Let's
Top 5
Things.
Let's
go White Sox. Yeah, they're down 2-0.
They are. They are.
They are. What are they say? Struggling.
Yeah, it's not been a fun year. This has not been a fun April. Let's get to May. Do you have any opinions on May?
I like May.
That's what I've heard. Patrons, thanks again for your support. You make it all possible. We hope you enjoyed this patron-exclusive episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Nav and board, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. Eat small lean, yeah, they keeping it hot.
We're tanks for nothing!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.